Good afternoon and welcome to Auto Retail Live from the Auto Retail Network in association with Auto Trader. It's great to be back in the studio again today here with the team in Manchester at Auto Trader's offices, and we are looking at our quarterly business briefing. You are more than welcome to send your questions to us. You can use the hashtag ARNLive if you're following us on Twitter, or you can send your questions in by typing into the dialogue box just below on the screen. Andy is taking the questions and they will come through to us here in the studio. Great panel of people with us here this afternoon. I'm delighted that we have Tom Slack from Ronbrook Motors. We have Peter Smythe from Swansway and Carolina Edwards-Schmeider from Auto Trader. Over the next 30 to 40 minutes, we will be looking at the market. We'll be hearing some of the elements that are making the market at the moment as we look towards the end of quarter one. And we will be interested to hear your comments and contributions, because the whole point of our discussion today is to take some practical tips that you can use in the showroom. So let's start, first of all, perhaps Tom, welcome back. We saw you a couple of years ago here on the Auto Retail Network webinar. Just remind us about your business and the brands and where you are.
Yep, thanks, Al. We've predominantly Toyota and Suzuki businesses across the East Midlands. So, yeah, we're not a big group, but we're a growing group at the moment. But we like to do a good job in the area we operate in.
Grand. Peter, bigger outfit and welcome back. Well-known face here on our webinars. Just remind us of your geographical and brand spread.
We're, again, a privately owned family business. Geographically, we're spread from as far south in Birmingham to up to Carlisle, so right down the M6 corridor, predominantly in the Cruxstoke and Stafford areas. Franchises include Volkswagen passenger cars, Volkswagen commercial vehicles, Seat, Cupra, Audi, Land Rover, Peugeot, and Honda.
Grant. So we've got an idea of the scope we have here in the studio. Let's start with a look at the market. Tom, not just because you're sat next to me, but let's start with you first in terms of where are we now in terms of new cars, and recognizing, obviously, you know, you've got Toyota and Suzuki. How's it looking with those two brands in your business?
Yeah, I think, well, totally on a total level, the new car market's a challenge, I think, for most brands, and that would be fair to say. Obviously, there's going to be some differences. I think the issues we're facing at the moment are weaker consumer demand, interest rates. We've then got on our side depreciating GFV issues. There's a lot of in the mix at the moment where it's hard to drive that new car. And I think we've gone from a pull market to most definitely now I'd say we all realize we're in a push market. So it's really about, you know, we've got to work harder to find those customers actually. And we can't just sit back and go, they're all going to come like they have done over the last few years.
Are they predominantly private customers then you're dealing with, or do you also have business and fleet as well?
We do business and fleet, but not on a major scale. So predominantly our business is private. And actually we'll see that in the SMMT that private's down this year on registrations. Actually all the growth, I think, is in fleet.
Yeah. Peter, how would you describe the new car market at the moment?
I think I'd describe it as a bit of a bloodbath, actually.
Okay.
I think
expand.
Well, I think there was a realization from the OEMs that this quarter one was going to be very difficult, but because of their decision-making processes and length of time, it was, and we talk about masquerade, it's probably Valentine's Day or thereabouts when they actually started to really react and come up with the offers, because they knew they had to get the cars shifted in March. And the offers now are being turned up and they're strong. It isn't getting people into the showrooms to buy new cars as much, but there certainly is a knock-on effect because driving some showroom traffic into used vehicles. New cars is very hard. I've heard on good authority that the new retail is backed by at least 11%. I would concur with that. But when you're pushing a product, then it affects your margins. So our margins are probably down by 20% on new cars compared to where we were this time last year. But in saying that, this time last year, we were still enjoying the party that was COVID. And it kind of came to an end in June of last year, as far as I'm concerned.
So with the spread of brands that you have, is that the same story across the brands and across the ranges within the brands? Or is it are the sort of brighter areas and darker areas in that mix?
I think there are definitely brighter areas and darker areas. I think some of the German premium brands are really struggling at this moment in time. Certainly the ones that we have. From a margin perspective, the aspirations of the OEMs are still incredibly high. If I take, say, Cupra, Seat and Volkswagen, they're still not getting the supply. And with Audi, what is exacerbating it is the product mix isn't right. There's too much high-priced stuff out there in the marketplace, and there aren't the A1s, Q2s, A3s, that really is our bread and butter business.
But is that a supply issue or is that a management of supply issue?
Well, I don't know. You'd have to ask the OEM that. Mm. All I know is that there's a lot of high-priced stuff knocking about then, and the bread and butter stuff in the premium sector just doesn't seem to be there at this moment in time. Now, whether that's a margin thing from the OEM, because obviously the higher-priced stuff, they take greater margin out of it. I'm not quite sure. Couldn't answer that.
Okay. Thoughts and comments, please do chime in if there are things that you would like to ask or contribute to our discussion. Just type them into the dialogue box and they come through to us here in the studio. Carolina, thanks for hosting us here back in Manchester again today. It's great to be in the studio. You've heard Tom and Peter there with a very direct view of the new car market. You see everything. How are you reading the new car market at the moment?
I think there is a lot of uncertainty in the new car market at the moment. As we were saying before, new car registrations are growing, but absolutely just driven by fleet market specifically. There is a lot of challenges that both OEMs and retailers are facing as a result. So it's not only constrained sales, but softening prices, new entrants in terms of new brands entering the market. There is a lot of dynamic there. And we are seeing OEMs and retailers acting, doing something about it. There is a lot of activities to stimulate demand at the moment. So what we are seeing on our marketplace are increasing volumes of vehicles with discounts. Those discounts are getting higher. In fact, like on average, every 3 in 4 vehicles on Auto Trader, new cars advertised have a discount on. On average, the discount level increased from 6% to 8%. And for EVs, that's even higher. It went up from 5% to 10%. So there is a lot of activity there to stimulate consumer demand. And we are seeing that happening as well. So in February, in terms of demand for new cars, advert views for new cars increased by nearly 40%. So, and it says that's flowing through to leads as well. For EVs, we've seen leads double essentially. So there is a lot of activity happening in the market, and it is flowing through. Consumers are responding to it. So there are some green shoots, I would say, but it's definitely a challenging landscape at the moment.
But what about traffic in terms of actual people looking? Because as you say, discounting, I hate to use the word, but can sound desperate.
Yeah.
But if there are not enough people coming in, you're essentially just giving away what you've got to the fewer that are coming. But are the visitors and the traffic still there? Are still people still interested, even if they're not buying?
So in January, we had the record levels in terms of visitors coming to Auto Trader, 86 million, I think. In February, it was 82 million. So the people are coming to the site, to our marketplace. They are looking at cars. Price is obviously an important factor. And I think because used is mixed with new, people compare. People don't always have a new in mind, and that's what they are buying. They are looking much broader very often. So price plays an important part in that equation, especially for EVs, I would say, which price is the main barriers for buying EVs. Mm-hmm. So those attractive offers are definitely tempting buyers. And offers are not only on the sticker price. There are very attractive finance offers, 0%. I think 1/3 of EVs on our marketplace have 0% finance offers.
Peter and Carolina has given the view of the market. You're seeing the same. Are you seeing traffic into the showroom at the same level and not buying, or are you...
It's not so much showroom traffic. It's inquiries, whether they be phone inquiries, digital inquiries, email inquiries. Inquiries on new vehicles are actually very, very strong indeed. As strong as used car inquiries. The problem is, at this moment in time, is we've had... The people who buy new cars probably bought new cars 2 or 3 years ago. And the people who bought new cars 2 or 3 years ago bought them at full of margin. There's been a price realignment. There's an awful lot of negative equity creeping into the market. And quite frankly, the price walk, because everybody buys a car on a monthly payment. It's not the sticker price you've got to worry about. It's the how much a month. There's a sweet spot somewhere between 350 and 500 quid. And when you turn around to a customer who's been used to paying that for a good number of years and say, great news, Mr. Customer, your new monthly payment's going to be £800, there's a sharp intake of breath. And that price walk at this moment in time is just too steep. Therefore, then there's the conversion into a late low mileage car or a used car.
And so consequently, are you seeing that? Are you seeing that the traffic, the inquiry rate is still there? They're buying something, but they're just not buying new. So you're actually getting the business. It's just not new business.
We're not getting all the business. Our new numbers are down by 11-12%, and our used numbers are up by 20-22%. So yes, we are selling them something. It's interesting because there's a number of manufacturers said when they started to change the way that we were going to go to market with cars to say that salespeople aren't important. Well, I've got some news for them. Salespeople are more important than ever.
Mm. That ability, I suppose, to look and see the customer and also to transact, does that open up the agency, direct-to-consumer wholesale?
Well, it's interesting because if you've got an agency model that's fixed price, how can you dig somebody out of negative equity?
Mm. And what do you do? Because obviously you've got agency within your portfolio. How do you manage that?
Well, it's difficult to manage. The customer's got to walk and he's got to go to somewhere else, or she. But if you've only got a fixed margin and you need to keep that fixed margin as your profit, you haven't got any trading margin to help the customer out of the negative equity situation that they find them in. Mm. I'm not absolutely sure if the OEMs truly understand the vagaries of negative equity. Some do, some don't.
And perhaps more so as time moves forward with the direct-to-consumer model. You're watching the Auto Retail Network business briefing for the end of quarter one. I know, can't believe it, we're heading towards the end of March 2024. Feel free to join in the conversation. Any questions you may have, you can use the hashtag ARNLive, or you can type in your question. It'll come through to us here in the studio. Tom, you heard what Peter and Carolina have said there about the market. Toyota and Suzuki. Suzuki seemed last year to be powering ahead. Toyota came to the market a little bit later with its electric, all-electric offering. How's that working in terms of offers and what you're needing to do to get people into cars?
Yeah, I think summed up well by Peter. I think some OEMs have had to be more reactive than they would have liked, and that is across the board, not just the brands we represent. I think an important point, actually, what you make there about electric and this, remember, this year we've got the ZEV mandate, and actually with the SMMT figures you see and what you might see with a brand going, oh, they're a bit down, actually they're all playing a bit of chess, or every day they're rerunning numbers in some cases to avoid the obvious fines. So there is a bit of a falsified market in that sense. And I think what you'd see with that is different products are being driven. It's very specific to a product, even within brand. But at the moment, I think we're all coming to a realization we all need to sell cars. That's what we do. So, I think it's a challenge, though, for the OEMs because they're trying to balance these things. But equally for us, we've got to try and meet customer requirements and sell cars to pay the bills. So,
but is that not... I mean, you're one of the longest established family businesses in Toyota for... Is it the 70s, I think, you first had the Toyota brand. So there's an expertise in your company in selling, because that's essentially the skill that you've got. Is that harder now? You're having to dig deeper into those skills. If you can't sell what the customer wants, you're having to explain to them there's still benefits in having something else.
Yeah, I think it's well documented, actually, that the two brands we currently represent aren't agency. And that would suggest that they understand to some degree that there is, you know, as you said, you can't get out of negativity. When you're selling a car, we're also often buying one, aren't we? And there's a two-way transaction. And I think that's a big, I know we're not getting into agency, but that's a real question where these things give us flexibility to still give the customer what they want, but not just going, oh, that's the line, and you know, you've got to walk out, like Peter said. So, but yeah, I think today, actually, selling all these skills, everyone's been an order taker, haven't they, over the last few years. We're now looking at our business, we're spending more on training than ever. We're trying to get people to that level of knowledge, selling, customer experience, that, not that we lost it, but, you know, I think there has been complacency in the industry. Peter, is it still fun?
Yeah, of course it is. Yeah.
I'm glad to hear you say that.
Yeah, it is still fun. I mean, look, I've been involved in this business now since 1983, so 41 years. And, you know, I was around, obviously, when my mum and dad were running the business in the 70s and 80s. But yeah, it's still fun. It's still dynamic. I am excited by what's to come. And I believe it'll just be, again, the survival of the fittest. We've all had some amazing years, these last two or three years. Hopefully most people have transferred those profits onto the balance sheet and not spent it on helicopters and holiday homes. Because, you know, we're going to probably need it. But, you know, it's a cyclical business and it'll come back again. It's not doom and gloom at this moment in time. If you are prepared to street fight, there's a living to be made.
And how important, and I'm not just going to be nice as Caroline is, that how important is data? Doesn't just have to be Auto Trader, there's other suppliers, but how important is that data in that street fight, bearing in mind you're all fighting for a sale?
It's absolutely critical, particularly the data that Carolina supplies to us at a price, I might add. but it's that data we use not just on a daily basis, on an hourly basis.
Right.
Particularly in the used car arena. It's vital.
Right. I mean, of course, you're going to be pleased to hear that, Carolina, but how do people make best use of that? To the point that Peter does, saying he's using hourly, you know, to drive profit, you support people with that. So there's training to help people make best use of it. Because there may be people watching here going, well, I'm not using it hourly. I'm kind of missing out on here. So that's available to help people understand?
Oh, absolutely. And like the level of granularity is very important as well in terms of, because the power is actually in the detail, because the market is so complex at the moment. And like, there are different trends for different types of vehicles. It's not one size fits all. So you really need to dig into the data to understand where opportunities are for different cars. Pricing market is super interesting at the moment. So we know that prices are softening and have been for some time. However, there are pockets of vehicles where the profit is left on the table potentially, because you treat all vehicles in the same way. But there are cars that are being underpriced today, and using the data, this level of granularity enables you to spot those opportunities.
We're talking about practical ways of working through the business in our business briefing here. Tom, I know you're another data enthusiast. How do you use it in the business to make sure you're on top of it? Are you an hourly scourer like Peter as well?
Probably as close to that, yeah, as I could be. I mean, data is critical now. If you're not using data, whatever you think, whatever you feel, which can still have influence, particularly with used cars, if you specialise in an area, but 90% is in the data. That's just a fact, I think. And I'd agree with Peter, Auto Trader are expensive, but I think the products, the data they have, I've actually spent all yesterday looking at some new products they're bringing to market. You've got to make the use of the data. And we're using Auto Trader, and there are other platforms and other data and everything we're doing. To be successful, you've got to be using data right now.
So using that data, Peter, is March going to be a
profit success? I know we talked about new cars, not great, but there are, you know, potentially sunny uplands to come. But is it going to be a profit success this month?
If I look at where we budgeted for this year, we budgeted to make 60% of what we made last year, and we're able to do that because we're a private business, so we don't have to keep going and going and going and going. We can be realistic. And when we get to the end of March, I am expecting us to be within £150 to £200 shy of where our budget needs to be. And I'm actually quite pleased with that.
Mm.
But that has involved an awful lot of hard work from the whole team, from the senior management right down to general managers, the people in our marketing team, the salespeople. We've had to really ask people to commit to get to those levels.
But what different? Because you're not the kind of business owner that's going to accept average. You're on it, you know, 24/7. So what more can people do than you can't, is the Swan's Way way? How do you say to somebody, I need another 20%? What else can they give?
I think that the vast majority of people who work within Swan's Way do give 100% and sometimes go above and beyond. I think we've all had to wake up, and Tom mentioned it before. You know, we did get a little bit fat over the pandemic years, and, you know, in terms of salesmanship, lost it quite a little bit there. And, you know, we've had to just sharpen our act up and get back to where we were, because the market is normalising, and it's normalising when there are also people trying to come into the market to completely change it, be that electrification, be that Chinese, you know, it's be that, you know, the so-called disruptors that have been around. So it's been, we've had to just basically just remind people of what they did 4 or 5 years ago, and let's get back to that.
Mm. How much can you help with that, Carolina, in terms of a platform like as Auto Trader? You're seeing all the stuff. Are those disruptors, the Chinese, other brands coming in, are they disrupting business as usual in the way of behavior on site?
I think it's mainly EVs in terms of what the new entrants are coming with. It's introducing more choice to consumers, more options, but also more confusion as part of it, because the world of EVs is much harder to navigate for consumers. So I think we have a role to play to help with it. But it's definitely introducing more competition in the market for other manufacturers, and some of the activity we are seeing trying to stimulate demand, that's part of it as well, because the competition is greater.
Mm. And we talked about offers. So just touching back on offers there, manufacturer offers, are the new entrants able to offer bigger discounts? Are you seeing that because they maybe don't have the legacy, or they don't have the ICE fleets to worry about, versus traditional brands that we're used to?
I actually don't know the answer to that question exactly. We are definitely seeing the discounting across most of the brands, across most of the, in new specifically. Mm. It's happening across the board. I don't know exactly the answer to the question.
No, that's okay. We can't have everything in our heads. But no, interesting. Offers continue. And Tom, I mean, you know, again, with your brands, it seems, you know, 0%, but like Carolina said, is standard. And it's getting, is it going to get harder as the year goes on with greater and greater offers?
It's obviously going to be interesting how everything pans out. I mean, we've just got yesterday an update on the economy. I think it grew by 0.2, small things, but obviously we were in a recession. We've got a cost of living crisis, which is still here. A new car is, in most cases, the second most expensive purchase after a house of what people do. So actually, we're asking a lot of people. And then, you know, interest rates have gone up. We all know the 0%. And I think, yeah, brands are now going back to 0%. Even if they're having to pay for it, because that interest rate is scaring people off anyway. They're going, hold on, I had 0%. Why would I have it on 8 now? Well, again, we're almost back to a normality, which some people don't understand either. But yeah, we'll have to watch. But I think, you know, new car will be a challenge throughout. And I think manufacturers will be looking very carefully, as well as considering their ZEV sort of obligations of where they push product and how we get the demand.
Yep. And I would at this point just remind you that if you get Auto Retail Bulletin, which Richard Ocock is the editor of, I was reading it on the train coming up, actually, there are the list of offers by manufacturer available there. Tom, I didn't ask you, is it going to be a profitable March, albeit that it's lower volume? Are you still going to make the money?
Hopefully. We'll find out.
It's not a strategy.
Oh, yeah. We'll find out in a couple of weeks. I mean, you know, for us, like Peter, used is very strong. Yeah. Our underlying businesses, retail and servicing, is very strong as well. So we've still carried in quite a strong order bank into March. So that's going to help us. But I think, yeah, as a market, it's going to be a big, more of a challenge. I think from a cost point of view, whilst cost of living with consumers, we've had major cost of business inflation, sometimes erratically without caps in some instances, which that appears to be settling now as well. But I think the cost base of doing business and doing it the right way is becoming expensive, which is why there is this debate about agency. We've all got to look at the distribution costs of how we do things. But, you know, that's a collective responsibility between us and the OEM.
Yep. Interesting. Carolina, I want to come back to you on the market in general. So new car is doing its thing. We've had a few years, as Peter said, with the COVID, where there's not been the new cars coming in through to used. So what is the situation? Are those new cars profitable enough to help offset the lack of used cars coming to the market? Talk us through it.
So I think used is suffering the consequences of what happened during COVID in new. So this is like the complex dynamic in the market is very much driven by that. So supply is still constrained in the market, in used specifically. It's doing okay from 5 years plus in terms of vehicles in that age bracket, which are increasing double digit in terms of supply. However, looking at vehicles which are below 5 years, this is where the gap is, which was caused by exactly what you are saying. So there's a lot of complexity there, which is driven by it because of pricing strategies. And there's some opportunities on some vehicles, but not the others. So there's a lot going on. Used car market overall, in terms of demand, feels healthy at the moment. Cars are selling quickly. Speed of sale in February was 27 days. That's the fastest it's been for the last 12 months. So we are seeing some encouraging signs of things being strong in used specifically. In new, it's definitely more challenging, more uncertain, I would say. But as we were touching on it before, there is a lot happening to try to stimulate that demand.
Peter, does that mean, as Caroline said, there were fewer cars coming through? Manufacturers, if they can only make a few, they'll make the Christmas trees. So have we got a whole lot of high spec, fewer used cars coming in? What does that do to the dynamic of your business? Because you're probably not dealing with that many over five, so you're 0 to 3 or something, aren't you?
We're 0 to 5.
Right.
And maybe 6 or 7 when I think about the Motormatch businesses. I don't think the spec side of things actually affects it. I think that we're in a position at this moment in time where it's harder to buy a car than it is to sell a car. So a lot more of our effort is going into acquiring inventory, used car inventory, because we know using the data that we can all get from Auto Trader if we subscribe, that we can sell the car. We know what the determinant is. We know what the price point is, and we can sell the car. And as long as we can buy, make a margin and sell it, it doesn't really matter. But the challenge is everybody's looking to buy, not just WeBuyAnyCar.com, but you know, we have Sell to Swansway, and there's lots of those kind of things about. But we are looking to acquire cars from Motorway, from CarWow even, and all those all those places where you can acquire vehicles from. It's tough. That's probably one of the most challenging things that we've had in quarter one, I think it's fair to say.
Where are you getting your cars from, Tom? Same places you used to or not?
A lot more avenues. So, you know, you need plenty of sources. I think Peter's right there. Actually, we all compete to sell cars, but I think there's a greater competition on us buying cars at the moment, the right one, certainly. So you've got to have many sources, I believe. There's not one size fits all. Some of the things, the ones Peter's mentioned are correct, and there's other ones, but you've got to explore creative options. You've got to think outside the box at the moment.
But have you changed the way that you're resourcing your buyers? You know, in other words, if you had one or two, have you now got three or four, or are other people coming into that support, that buying part of the business?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that area of the business is under strain because of the amount of data, the amount of information needed and time to do these things is important. So we're looking to expand that area of our business.
Mm. Peter, does your buying side got now bigger offices with more people in it?
No, it's got smaller. It's got smaller because the way of buying has changed. Mm-hmm. We used to have buyers that used to go out, look at cars, check them over, run the hands along the side of them, and then buy them, whereby nowadays we can get people who are so-called professional buyers use the data that is available to them and buy them that way, sat at home or being on a computer. And can actually buy more.
Interesting. What about from the logistics point of view? Is it the same principle then? Do you have different logistics moving the vehicles to you that you'd previously done, or is that the same?
Well, you just subcontract that out.
Yeah.
You know that it's going to cost you somewhere between £150 and £200 to go and pick a car up in the UK, and that's got to go on the price.
Yeah. So you're watching the Auto Retail Network business briefing. Thank you. Questions coming in. We've got about 10 minutes left with our panel. So if you do want to send a question in, Andy will be picking it up and sending it to us here in the studio. Tom, I'm going to start with you. It's Cliff Deller. Hello, Cliff, from Orchid Automotive. Are daily rental companies benefiting from a poor retail market?
I think that's a very good question. And actually, again, with the dynamic we're in, I think OEMs that may have backed out of that space are probably re-entering it at a pace. So I think that's been very dynamic. Over the last few years, I think some OEMs have sort of pulled out of that space altogether. So, yeah, it's probably brand specific, but OEMs at the moment are probably going to use as many avenues available to them as possible to shift stock as and where they need to.
Well, there was discussion about Vauxhall entering back into various markets. Now, of course, you don't have that, and Peter, I don't think that within your portfolio either, do you?
No, Vauxhall, no.
No. So are you seeing anything in that space about daily rentals wiping up what otherwise would come to you?
Well, it's really quite simple, isn't it? The factories make the cars, they come over, they've got the steering wheel on the right-hand side, they've got to go somewhere. And the OEM, if they can't get them out to the dealer network because they can't retail them, they're going to go down the other channels. The motability market at this moment in time is absolutely swamped with the OEMs. They're all in on the act. It's not uncommon to see £50,000 cars going down the motability route. I'm guessing, but I'm not privy to it, that the rental companies will be eating up a lot of vehicles at this moment in time. But hopefully that will help us further down the line when they come to dispose, because they've not been able to dispose over the last few years because they've not had the new product to go in. So there's a negative and a positive there.
Yeah. Carolina, another question for Cliff, actually. He's talking about pre-regs. Do you see an increase in pre-registered cars going through the platform?
We never can tell for sure whether it's a pre-registered car or not, because we can see vehicles obviously by age and when they are advertised. We are definitely expecting more of that activity to happen.
Delivery miles only, etc. Yes.
So, but yes, it's definitely been hasn't been as common practice, obviously, in the last few years as it used to be in the past. But we're expecting more of that to happen.
Yeah, but it's a trend, and I guess, as March wears on and we get towards the end and there's the need for push, Peter, we're going to see pre-reg is a common thing? I mean, there's been some element in Jan-Feb, but March is probably the first bellwether, really, isn't it?
There were pre-registrations going on in October, November and December of last year. Some of the OEMs have enforced the rule whereby you cannot sell a pre-registered car for 3 months. Why they've done that at this moment in time, I don't know, because that law's been around for 25 years, but they seem to have, for whatever reason, enforced that. There are a lot of dealers holding an awful lot of inventory in pre-reg at this moment in time, and they're going to splurge onto the market around about now.
Right. Okay. Watch Auto Trader. You'll see the numbers coming through. Electric. And now, Tom, we'll start with you. Come to Peter. Obviously, Toyota have electric in it. Suzuki some. What about the softening in prices in used? Is the market coming towards you in any way yet? Because there's so much chatter pro and against and so on. What's your experience in the showroom?
Is that on used car prices or
electric? Electric and electric used.
Yeah. So, well, they've been extremely volatile. I think we've seen that. I think now actually some used electric cars look decent value, actually, which is interesting because that's going to further probably make the job of pushing the new more difficult because the price points are so different. But I think, you know, it's a new product that's come to market in a sense. On day one, you're never going to get. It's right, that's how a market operates. It had to find its level. Whether that's sustainable, I'm not sure. And actually, going forward, the issue will be moving them into the next product, which no doubt will be even more expensive, perhaps, although some is meant to be coming down. But in general, cars are going to be more expensive. So that's where, again, for us as retailers, to try and dig those people out who are often on a monthly lead payment as a priority, it's going to be difficult because some of these EVs are coming back now. So those brands that are doing a lot of EV, they've got to think long and hard. And actually, that's the retailer's risk in most instances, isn't it? So,
well, Volkswagen were into that right at the start for reasons we know. But are you seeing those coming back into the market, Peter? And how are you handling those as you move forward with electric?
I'm welcoming used EVs back onto the forecourts because they're at the right price. You buy them at a price that you know you're going to sell them. And in truth, and I don't know whether Carolina can back me up on this, but the speed to market for EVs is just as quick, if not quicker, than it is for ICE vehicles, the speed to sale.
10 days faster in February.
Well, there you go.
Right. So, there, again, like anything in life, at the right price, something it will find its market.
I have a mantra, never a bad car, only a bad price.
Interesting. Jessica, hello. Jessica Moore from BNP, Arval BNP Paribas. Hope you don't take any more over. That name will just get longer and longer. Jessica says the PCP is obviously leader motor finance product of choice. What are the panel's thoughts on PCH and could this enable areas within the market? Do you want to kick there, Carolina, or we'll go to Tom? Tom?
I'd quickly say the experience, what I'm seeing is brands are, where PCP was almost, everyone was doing that, etc. Brands are looking into that a lot more. And in fact, probably not just PCH, but they're looking at how different types of funding to offer mobility services. So, in short, PCH is being considered more. And again, it's this comfortable factor, probably from a retailer, an OEM, a finance, but also customer. I mean, some, customers have had like 10 cars on PCP. They still don't get it but I think it'll be a growing area, actually.
Is that a route forward, Peter?
I think, I think at this moment in time, PCP, private contract hire, normal contract hire where the private customer's prepared to pay the VAT and the finance company's prepared to overlook the fact that they're not a business, it will be any method to get people into the cars and driving them on the road.
I think where PCH is attractive specifically is EVs as well because of the benefits. So like in terms of different salary sacrifice schemes and like making EVs more affordable, that definitely becomes more popular route to go with from the buyer's point of view.
And new entrants to the market, I guess. We've seen you know, people coming into the market at a lower price point. Dacia have got a lower price EV coming into the market. The Chinese are coming to the market. There's a range of other offers coming in at a lower price point. Is that going to, Caroline, do you think, stimulate it from a consumer perspective?
Oh, it's definitely working, because when it's happening, we are seeing consumer demand responding. So, price is a very important factor when it comes to EVs. So now it's normalizing a little bit, and we are seeing demand picking up.
Mm. Peter, looking forward, you see that is potentially a route forward. I mean, you know, you've got a range of premium brands. You know, JLR is never going to do a, you know, £15,000 EV, but can you see a market that you might get into where cheaper, lower priced electric vehicles are important body or mix?
We're not thinking about it. We are actually doing it. We are actually openly involved with a Chinese manufacturer at this moment in time, and all will be kind of revealed within the next few months. I believe that it's a faux pas on behalf of the European manufacturers, who all seem to want this need to move up market, but then they're leaving this huge space for these new entrants to come in and fill it. And what they also have, a lot of these Chinese brands, they have the sub-brand, like, you know, you've got, say, BYD, but then you've got their premium brand, Wangyang, which they may then bring into this country, and people starting off, particularly young people, on a journey with BYD, and then moving up into the major premium brands. It must be a huge worry for the European manufacturers. They can make cars cheaper. They're not constrained by unions. And with the case of a lot of these Chinese manufacturers, they make everything apart from the tyres and the glass. So they're always going to be price competitive.
Change is the one certainty in this market. It's exciting. It's challenging. It's dynamic. We're almost at the end of our time for Auto Retail Live here today. But as always, I'd like a quick tour de table of tips to take away. Carolina, what's your takeaway for somebody watching and to do in the showroom today or later on this week?
It always will be use of data and just making sure. And I think what I mean by that, there is still a lot of underpricing activity happening in the market specifically. I think that's a lot of that is because of disconnect between trade pricing and retail pricing. There is too much attention paid to trade prices when pricing to retail. And this is where the margin opportunities are lost. So paying attention to retail prices, retail metrics, and doing that frequently at granular level, I think this is what I would encourage to do.
Tip for profitability, got to like that. Peter?
Really quite simple. I've always said to keep your used car inventory clean, but I would say in the changing environment that we're in here, as much as you can, keep your new car inventory clean. And when I'm talking about that, I'm talking about if you can resist pre-registrations.
Resist, okay. Take profit, resist. Tom, how are you going to top that?
I'm going to use the word retention, and that's because we're talking about a difficult marketplace where demand is muted potentially across new. We've all got, as retailers, good databases, and actually question yourself, what are you doing with that database? How are you talking to your finance renewals customers? Is your data right on your service MOT reminders? There's a lot of people that we have a relationship with. You know, we've got to dig deep, as Peter said at the moment, and the ones that do that can still be successful, but we need to be creative with our interactions with our customers if they're not just queuing at the door. Yeah.
Retain. Retain, resist, and profit. Take those away with you. Tom Slack from Runbrook Motor Group, Peter Smythe from Swansway, and Carolina Edwards-Smyder from Auto Trader. Thank you for being with us today for Auto Retail Live. Our thanks to Guy on the controls, to Andy, and on behalf of Francis and the team at the Auto Retail Network, have a good week in the showroom.